Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. We have another great show for you this morning, the Black Church. It's an institution and bedrock of the African-American community. Its traditional role in the civil rights movement has been acknowledged and celebrated. But in many quarters of the Black community, the so-called Black Church has abdicated its spiritual and social mandates. It's a provocative issue that has been written about by a great many people, and we're going to talk about it here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is the co-pastor of City of God Ministries here in Charlotte, Reverend Myra Bellinger, author of the book Breathe, 31 Days of Inspiration. Also joining me this morning is author, lecturer, and philosophy teacher, Dr. Joel Bryant. Dr. Bryant is the author of 23 books, including Journey Toward Greatness and For Dreamers Only. Also joining me this morning is my Radio 1 Charlotte colleague, the lovely Miss Wanda Reed. Miss Reed works in our sales department and has been in radio for over 15 years. I might add, she's a strong woman of faith and works extensively in areas that impacts the lives of women. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's great to be. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Before we get into some of the topics that I want to discuss, I do want to suggest to all of you that I really appreciate you coming on. This is a subject matter that I really wanted to have a discussion about, and I think I have some heavyweights in the studio that can really talk about this issue with a great deal of gravitas, if you will. So thank you so much again for joining me. Now, Reverend Bellinger, I would like for you to talk a little bit first about your book, Breathe.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've just released my new book called Breathe, 31 Days of Inspiration. And it's just that. I believe that it's the message of the hour. It's about doing just that. It's about breathing in the inspiration of God on the daily basis, not being too busy so that you might maximize and dominate and do all the things that we're supposed to do in the earth today. But when we're too busy, we lose faith. We can't get it done.
And a lot of us are busy.
Yeah, too busy.
Yeah. If you could winnow down a particular message of the book, what would that overall message be?
How important it is not to be distracted. In the beginning, one distraction caused man to lose his focus and lose everything. And what I have found in life is that life is full of distractions.
Yeah.
And until we learn how to, sometimes we're so active doing stuff, and it's not really what we're supposed to do. We're not living in purpose, on purpose. We're busy, but we're not living and maximizing our potential. And so it's about learning to calm down, shutting out every distraction, teaching you how to envision. That means that there is something on the inside of me. I don't need anybody to prophesy it to me. I don't have to have 50 people telling me what it is. I don't have to go research in a book. If I could calm down and inhale the breath of God, which is so powerful.
Yeah.
God's breath is powerful. I also released a song that goes with it. It's called Breathe Again. And it's asking God to breathe in us again, our purpose, our direction, his direction for our lives.
You sound like you're about to preach.
Well, you know, it's a natural thing. I just talk. Sing a little bit, but
yeah,
I talk.
Yeah. Now, Joel, you are the author of quite a few books. Talk a little bit about some of your work.
My books in general are designed to enlighten and empower people. I think one of the most important things you have, in addition to God knowledge, is self-knowledge.
Yeah.
Because I believe without self-knowledge, God knowledge makes you dangerous. It makes you religious, dogmatic, tyrannical, and intemperate. So everything that I write is designed to give enlightenment, understanding, self-knowledge, coupled with God knowledge. And then you can breathe, you can be bold, you can move on purpose, you can understand destiny, not just activity.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's all about intimacy.
Now, if you could winnow down a particular message out of all of your work, what would that be?
We were destined for divine greatness. We're not destined to desire it, to dream it, to wonder why we can't achieve it, but God put greatness in us. We have a mandate for greatness, and most people are living beneath their ability. Forget potential, because nobody knows how much potential they have. It's like how much air is in a room. people are not even achieving their goals. You never fulfill your potential, but just achieve your goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Set quantifiable goals. Take the Word of God and other information that's in this society and use that information to facilitate your transition to the person that God designed you to be in the garden.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Wanda, you do a lot of work with churches in our community. Of course, as a salesperson for Radio 1, you have those relationships. Talk a little bit about how important it is to have a relationship with the church, particularly on behalf of the radio station.
I think one of the things that makes me successful is what I do is more so a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
People believe in you because they see what you do and you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Both of you were talking about God putting things in you. God gives us an opportunity to have successes and failures because we become stronger with our failures. And our community is, abreast. We're in the Bible Belt now.
Yeah.
Our community is abreast of those things that people need to do and to push us forward. And with what we do here at Radio 1, what we do on the radio station is what we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're just putting it out there for people to be able to know other entities to make them stronger and pull those things out of us that are our lifestyles,
right,
or help somebody develop into a lifestyle.
Yeah. Now, Reverend, City of God Ministries, talk a little bit about the ministry.
Oh, yeah. City of God Ministries is actually, it's located here in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Off of Tuckasegee Road, 3501 Tuckasegee Road. We do have an online presence, of course, cityofgodministries.com. And it's just a church. Our slogan is, it's a church where great things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your traditional church. It is, we believe in serving the community and empowering ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you can characterize the mission of the church, what would that be?
City of God Ministry is a unified body of believers called to spread the gospel, mm-hmm, through active evangelism,
mm-hmm,
Christian education, and that's what we do.
Now, what is the distinguishing characteristic of your church?
Because worship. We are called, I believe every church is called. Of course, we all have the mandate to win the world,
mm-hmm,
but I believe that there is a sound on our ministry for worship. We're called to teach the nations how to worship.
Yeah,
and worship is beyond a song. It's beyond a beat. Worship is really who you are. And so the calling card, we like to say, for our ministry is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I know I might be getting ahead of your program, but relationship is essential.
Right.
You have to have relationship with God. You have to have relationship with one another. Relationship is imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we turn into being religious people. That's a good way to say that.
That sounds like that's one
card
of the keys of the things that we do here. You just said something powerful to me, active.
Mm-hmm.
Active. We have to be where people are, where they are in their lifestyle, where they are in their daily lives. We have to come away sometimes from the traditional church.
Absolutely.
Or even make the traditional worship something that's in tune to how people are.
Absolutely.
How people worship, how, not how we think people are supposed to worship, because everyone worships differently.
Yeah.
Their emotions are different, but you have to be active, and that's the key.
When we first started, we were we were pretty much trying to figure out who we were. And as you birth the church, you're trying to give people what they need. And then you process to learning, you have to know who you are in order to give the people that you're called to what
right,
they need.
Right.
And so I think when you said something very key just a moment ago about making worship, letting people find out. I think that churches are different. They're on different levels. They have different sounds. They have different atmospheres, just like schools, because people are on different levels, for lack of better terms. I use that differently. So you might not like my worship encounter,
mm-hmm,
and that's okay. Just find where it works for you.
Exactly.
But don't make me be something I'm not.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, that's powerful. Now, I had an opportunity to read a very interesting article by Eddie Claude Jr., professor of religion and chair of the African American Studies at Princeton University. And I just want to read an excerpt from the article that he had written. And this was a while ago, but it's germane to the discussion. Quote, "We have witnessed the routinization of black prophetic witness. Too often, the prophetic energies of black churches are represented as something inherent to the institution, and we need only point to past deeds for evidence of this fact. Sentences like, quote, the black church has always stood for, end quote, the black church was our rock, end quote, without the black church, we would not have. In each instance, a backward glance defines the content of the church's stance in the present, justifying its continued relevance and authorizing its voice. Its task, because it has become alienated from the moment in which it lives, is to make us venerate and conform to it. But such a church loses its power. Memory becomes its currency. Its soul withers from neglect. The result is all too often church services and liturgies that entertain but lack a spirit that transforms and preaches who deign for followers instead of fellow travelers in God." Give me your thoughts on that.
Go ahead. I would say that excerpt is from his book, The Black Church is Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a clarion call for us to re-examine the possibilities and the mandate of the black church.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, there is no black church, so we know that, right? There are black churches.
So about to say
culture,
that.
We have classes, we have geography, we have so many other variables that we diverge on missions on. But in general, the black church as an institution, as he speaks of it, has lost some of its edge. We talked about activity and meeting people where they are. We talk about levels of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the prosperity gospel is an example of the focus on individualism and not the social community.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about me pulling myself up by my divine bootstraps.
But why is prosperity, and that's one of the issues that always concerns me, is the prosperity message. Why has it resonated so much within our community?
Well, I think that would be obvious. First of all, let me say, I think balance is the key to everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know we use the prosperity message loosely, but I believe that there is a balance.
Okay.
I believe that there is truth that he wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that I'm anti-prosperity message. I'm anti a balance of the message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very important to have that in perspective.
Do you think that there's an excess?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Not an excess. I think there is a misbalance.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that many people teach it wrong, and I believe that comes from the fact that many of our founding fathers, many of our parents, many of our parents' parents had so little. And so that would appeal, but that's not what the gospel in totality is all about.
Explain what the gospel is teaching about this issue.
The gospel is about the birth, the death, the resurrection of the Lord. You know, and to say that it's about money or having bigger houses or bigger cars, that can't be accurate, because that doesn't transcend to third world countries, mm-hmm. and to other places who believe that they can be prosperous based upon what the Word of God says.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
I believe that prosperity has more to do with things. Prosperity is like the scripture says, even as your soul prospers, that you would it's that you would prosper. I think that covers financials, and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I think that a lot of that end part is major, because I think that is one of the major problems in the church, not just what we're coining as the black church,
mm-hmm.
the church period. There are many people who are in pulpits and who are in positions whose souls are not well.
Mm-hmm.
So if my mind, my will, my emotions are not whole, which I believe encompasses the soul, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my kicks off in the pulpit. I'm gonna get the accolades that I need that I've never had. Perhaps out there I'm nothing. I walk into the church and I'm apostle so-and-so, or I'm bishop so-and-so, or I'm deacon so-and-so. You have to look up to me. That's a problem with the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
That's there's a problem.
Because it's the only thing that you have to go on.
That is the
it's
only
the
thing.
Only thing that you have to go on. That mm-hmm. you don't get it at home. You don't get it at your job. So when you, like you said, when you walk into what you think is mine, mm-hmm. something that I own, Hence, we just talked about the black church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's what I'm supposed to own. This is supposed to be mine, and I'm supposed to be prosperous in this because I don't get anywhere else. Yeah.
And it validates my position.
It's
it validates your
to validate.
Right, in their mindsets.
Exactly.
In the mindsets.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would say it's the prosperity gospel speaks to legitimate needs, but it meets them in illegitimate ways. We all have a need for affirmation, identity, and significance. Those are legitimate psychological needs that are in every human being. But how we meet those needs and the message, the missed message, you quoted 3 John,
mm-hmm.
Beloved, I wish you were prosperous above all things, being healthy, even as your soul prospers. The Protestant work ethic back in the early of this country equated prosperity with God's favor. It's the same today.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you if you tithe and you give and you do all these things, there's no way you can't prosper, and that is not the truth. Your destiny determines your prosperity.
Right.
God, your election, what God has for you, and that's progressive. None of us know that in totality. So I do think, as Reverend Myra said, there is a lack of balance, but there's also some belligerence. I've heard major mega preachers talk about they wish. I mean, people with 30,000 members in an international platform, so they wish they could shoot the non-tithers in their church.
Yeah, yeah.
They post the non-tithers on the wall, and they're singled out on Sunday mornings. So yes, a deprived people, as blacks have been, have this social tool through religion to have mobile and social advancement. It's quite natural that message resonates with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to understand there is a prosperity gospel that has become the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good news that God wants you wealthy.
Right.
There's a show coming out in the fall called LA Preachers of LA. Go on YouTube and just look at that.
What are your thoughts about that? I mean, I find that a bit profane. I don't know why, if I'm alone in that, but I just find that interesting that we have, that there's literally no distinction between the church and the world today, at least according to Ron's own philosophy.
My husband likes to call it, and it depends what part of the church you're talking about.
Yeah,
I got to keep giving that disclaimer.
Yeah.
But Hollywood gospel. Hollywood, that's what he calls it, Hollywood. It's become that in a lot of ways. I wanted to pick back off of something Joel just said with regards to, I think, success and prosperity can be defined as doing exactly, because he brought in your destiny, doing what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading some time ago about the works of Mother Teresa. Now, would you consider her non-prosperous?
Well, she was poor, but she was prosperous in spirit.
She was prosperous in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because I believe she fulfilled, as she did, the mandate, her destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with the dollar. That's what I'm saying. It has to be the balanced message. I think, you know, and you can be poor in the eyes of,
mm-hmm.
you know, the poorest person in America is not really poor. And I know I'm getting ready to get a lot of rocks thrown at me, but compared
no.
to other countries
sure.
and other places,
sure.
in reality, we're not. We still have so much. But success is about achieving the absolute will of God for your life, walking in the purposes for which you were created. And that is progressive.
Mm-hmm.
That it is not revealed all at once. This is it. This is the end. But as you go, there is more revealed as you do. And you can find peace and happiness and fulfillment and a totality of life, and you can have 50 cents in the bank.
Amen.
Really?
You are preaching.
Oh, I don't mean to. I don't mean to.
The call is there, the call is there.
One of my favorite websites is called In Plain Sight, and as I was preparing for the show, there was an interesting piece that I had read, Merchandising the Gospel, and it says, ever since the charismatic movement has taken over or affected 98% of all churches, the name of Christ was never so profaned or bantered about. This movement has created the most false view of Christianity since Satan founded the Church of Rome. That's interesting. The gospel is to be preached and taught in all its full counsel. What we see happening to the true gospel today via publishers and the so-called contemporary music scene is an affront to what the gospel was meant to do, and that is to search out God's elect. Our responsibility is to send out the gospel, and we are not to charge anything for it. When you become saved, did anyone charge you? Then we better not charge others. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, you're not charged for your salvation. I think that basically what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But being a part of the Christ-like environment is the acceptance. It's what we as a community think is accepted. You know, you may not go to, you know, what we call the CME. You may not go to church until Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, but you'll come to work, or you'll have a discussion among your peers that you did go to church, whether it was Holy Roly, you know, Baptist, Zion, Pentecostal church. You went on Christmas Day or the day before Christmas, and it is an acceptance. I think what happens, people aren't realizing that it's a part of your soul salvation that you were just talking about. Your salvation is free, but people feel like if they, you know, what we're doing right now is a part of, if you're going somewhere or you're connected to somewhere that's a worship experience, it's free and it's an acceptance.
Anything else?
I think sometimes we also confuse theology with sociology. People are socialized. I agree, the poorest person here in the United States is not poor compared to somebody that's in Indonesia. But we don't live in Indonesia. Correct. We live here.
Right?
And so the standards of comparison are based on the median averages of this country. If you don't make a certain amount of money, you can't get health care. You can't get good health care. You can't buy food. You can't buy quality food because it costs more. You can't live in a safe community. So religion, the Bible says religion, some suppose that religion is a road to riches, if you read the Jewish Bible translation. And it is a road to riches. The charismatic movement has become something separate from the gospel. It's become an appendage, but it meets the needs of people. So then the question is, how do we take that movement? How do we take its methods? How do we change its motives until we maximize the intent of God for that gospel? We don't do that. Yeah. We don't question ourselves. And it starts with the leadership. And I say like this, I don't understand. Black people doing civil rights movement would have sit-ins and boycotts. If you go to a restaurant and they don't treat you well, why would you go back and support it? Why are we supporting these churches? Why are we supporting these people? People are going to do what they can get away with.
That's
every human being. So I think as leaders, we need to hold ourselves into account. There's no accountability among church leaders. They do what they want to do. They don't speak against one another unless they're jealous of the other person's growth in their ministry, but they don't hold one another to account.
Is there a structural apparatus that we can erect to start holding leadership accountable?
I don't think so. Only by consent.
Yeah.
People have to give you, other than breaking laws or moral transgressions, people have to give you permission to have authority in their lives.
Right.
Unless the state, and we wouldn't allow that for the most part, having the state overseeing, otherwise some of these people that have failed would be probably in jail right now.
I think that it's important, and I agree with the both of you, I think that it's also important to recognize in this context, when you mention free, you know, we do a lot of things. We do a lot of outreaches. We've done, you know, from the GED program at our church to the food bank to just the list goes on and on. I think, and I know we're talking about the leadership, but I think it's very important to recognize that salvation is free.
Amen.
We must touch that.
Yeah.
But we must also talk that it does take money to do ministry.
Sure.
And we serve sometimes a sect or a group of people who feel like, you know, they come. What was that? Christmas, Mother, what did you call it?
CME.
Yes, I love it. Yes. So we have a lot of CME saints or don't come at all, but I've heard people say the church is supposed to pay my bills. The church is supposed to give me this. So there's another mentality that we have to, you know, it's not that I believe in tithing offerings. I believe the Bible teaches it. I believe that it helps to finance ministry. I believe that side has to be considered and looked at because so many people that we serve come to us expecting free. And we can't do free. If we can't get it free, we've got to pay. But now, I do agree that there has been abuse in some cases. So I wanted to bring out that part because there is a mentality of people who think that because salvation is free and y'all are the church, y'all are supposed to give us everything free. And they don't understand that I can't go to Duke Power and speak in tongues and pay my bill.
And that's what we hear as a venue that's able to get out. This is what we do here. We're able to market. And you know, we get calls from churches and from ministries all day long. Can you tell them about my revival? Can you tell them about the usher board program? Can you tell them? Because the whole idea is, in this society, it is a market. We are here to spread the good news. And how are we supposed to tell about your book? How are we supposed to tell about that song that may inspire someone's soul if you don't realize that it's not free?
But and isn't just like it works. I'm sorry. Free.
But there is a distinction between what you're doing and someone charging a $10,000 or $15,000 speaking fee.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother discussion.
And I think,
but that's in terms of merchandising the gospel, in terms of literally taking advantage of particular types of ministries, particularly smaller churches. Mm-hmm. When someone like a T.D. Jakes, for instance, I'm just using his name because we're all familiar with Jakes, is if he's charging $20,000 to come speak to a mid-sized or small church, don't you think there's something profane about that?
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
If he is. I think I've been this round so many times. Mm-hmm. I minister lots of places, big and small.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've had people counsel me, you got to do this like this. You got to do it like this. And we absolutely refuse. We absolutely refuse. I believe you take into consideration this is the right way, I think. I can't tell anybody else what to do, but I believe that you take into consideration where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you take into consideration your expenses to get there, because I'm telling you, a number of times, many times, I can count, the church will prostitute you.
Exactly.
And you're the gift. That's... You're coming to deposit a word.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is free. Yes, the gospel is free, but honey, I had to pay an airline fare to get here. Or I had to make gas money, and I have to stay in a hotel because you asked me to come and I'm 12 hours away.
Yeah.
But they will send you away with a God bless you.
Yeah.
So you have to have something in place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have this astronomical fee. I think you consider where you're going. And then I've walked away and I've given offerings back.
Mm-hmm.
I've walked away and say, okay, or I don't come in saying, we usually say we have a standard. It's going to take this for us to get there. What's your budget? What can you afford? What can you do? How much leeway do we have if we should be led of the Lord to receive another offering? A lot of times we'll do it. It's so many different ways you can look at that. You're able to work within that budget. Now, I won't take a place that I can't afford to go.
Right.
Unless I can afford to go. That's kind of like, I don't let people borrow money from me that I can't afford to give away.
Well, I just asked you to.
I know it. So if you ask me for $200 and I give it to you in my mind so that I can stay free in my heart, if something happens and you can't give it back, I didn't use what people say is my bill money,
right,
so to speak.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So with that in mind, I say, okay, my people will say, so what's your budget? You ask Pastor Mari to come, what's your budget?
Mm-hmm.
What can you afford? Can you get her? Da, 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 da. And I think, but to come in, I can't come to you unless you give me. We have dealt with people like that. We have dealt with people in ministry that brought us to other venues, and other people have come that would not come out on a stage because they didn't have. But this other side to that is that you signed the contract,
mm-hmm,
and you said that's what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
So there are
mm-hmm
lots of factors there.
Yeah,
lots
yeah
of factors to take in consideration. But no, I don't think anybody needs to be, if you're speaking to 100,000 people or 50,000 people, if everybody gave a dollar and you got a $25,000 offer, that's totally different. But you go to a city of God with 50 to 100 people and you try to charge me $20,000. First of all, you're not coming. You're not going to come. Because I'm not going to bother. We can't afford you. I don't know what it is we're paying for. But then you have the other groups that, have to bring in 12 people and they need all of their entrees. I can't. They need their... It's just crazy. I've been doing this a long time. They need their stylist. You know, they need their own...
The musician, the secondary drummer, all of that.
And then they need 12 other people to serve them.
Absolutely. And that presents a problem. Any
absolutely
thoughts on that, Dr. Bryant?
I agree. I mean, I think that there is a sense of entitlement. People pay for quality. All ministers are not created equal.
This is true.
I don't pay for children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear children's ministry. I'd take my child if I had one to it, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Certain people do bring a level of ministry and credibility and integrity that God has put on their life that gives people quantum leaps in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that person worth that amount of money? I would question the person, the ministry that invited them. I sent a letter to a ministry one time. I want to see how these people operated. And I won't call the person's name, but it was $10,000 for her to come. Then she wanted to know if we would take up an offering to pay for half, because she couldn't fly first class because she's just too busy and too important. Would you pay for half of the fuel for her private jet? And then when she got there, she wanted to be able to take up an offering of her own for herself and her ministry.
Wow.
For children's ministry.
And she's on TV, and I can't figure out for the life of me why. Because I've never heard her say anything in my 26 years of being a Christian that spoke to my heart.
Right.
But here again, she's not called to me. So I believe that if we would examine ourselves, we're talking about the state of the black church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is too conservative socially, it's confused doctrinally, and it's ambivalent direction. It doesn't know which way it wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
Until we fix our doctrine, we won't change our disposition, we won't alter our direction. We'll continue to move in our own various and sundry paths with limited accountability, and we only hang around like-minded people who don't challenge us, who don't chasten us, and we don't change.
Wow. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to close part one of The State of the Black Church. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise, 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to invite all of our listeners to tune in next week for part two of The State of the Black Church with my guests, Reverend Myra Bellinger, Dr. Joel Bryant, and Wanda Reed. And of course, yours truly, Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.